Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Shadows in the Forest, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1: The Discovery. The air in the forest was heavy with the scent of pine and damp earth. Sunlight filtered through the dense canopy, casting shifting patterns of light and shadow on the trail below. Five friends, Alex, Nora, Ethan, Mia, and Sam, moved deeper into the forest, their laughter and chatter a sharp contrast to the silence around them. "This is going to be perfect," Nora said, her voice bright with excitement. She adjusted the straps of her backpack, glancing back at the others. "No distractions, just us and nature." Alex, the self-proclaimed leader of the group, consulted the map in his hands. "We should reach the campsite in another hour. Let's pick up the pace." Ethan groaned. "You said that an hour ago. I'm starting to think we're lost." "We're not lost," Alex replied, rolling his eyes. "Just exploring." The group trudged on, their conversation ebbing and flowing as they navigated the uneven terrain. The deeper they went, the quieter the forest became. Birds no longer chirped, and the distant rustle of leaves seemed unnaturally faint. It was Mia who first noticed the strange silence. "Does anyone else think it's a little too quiet out here?" she asked, her voice barely above a whisper. Sam shrugged, his easygoing demeanor unshaken. "It's a forest, Mia. What did you expect? A marching band." But Mia couldn't shake the feeling. Something about the silence felt wrong, oppressive even. As they rounded a bend, the cabin came into view. It stood in a small clearing, its weathered wood darkened by age and moss. The windows were cracked, the door slightly ajar, swaying gently in the breeze. It was as if the forest had swallowed it, leaving it forgotten and hidden. "Whoa," Ethan breathed. "What's that doing out here?" "Looks abandoned," Alex said, stepping closer. "Let's check it out." "Are you serious?" Nora asked, her brow furrowing. "It could be dangerous." "It's fine," Alex replied. "Just a quick look." Reluctantly, the group followed Alex toward the cabin. The air seemed colder as they approached, and a faint smell of decay lingered around the structure. Inside, the cabin was dim and dusty, its interior cluttered with broken furniture and scattered papers. "Creepy," Sam muttered, shining a flashlight around the room. The beam landed on a pile of old books and journals stacked on a table in the corner. "What are those?" Mia asked, moving closer. Ethan picked up one of the journals, brushing off a layer of dust. The cover was plain, but the pages inside were filled with tightly packed handwriting. He read aloud, "August 12th. The forest is a perfect place. No one hears the screams. No one sees the blood. It's just me and my work." The words sent a chill through the room. "Is this some kind of sick joke?" Nora asked, her voice trembling. Ethan flipped through more pages, each entry more disturbing than the last. The journal detailed methods, victims, and a twisted sense of purpose. It was the diary of a killer. "We should leave," Mia said firmly. "Right now." But before anyone could respond, a loud creak echoed from the far side of the cabin. The group froze, their eyes darting toward the source of the sound. "What was that?" Sam whispered. Alex motioned for everyone to stay quiet as he crept toward the noise. The cabin seemed to hold its breath, the air thick with tension. When Alex reached the corner, he found nothing but an old rocking chair, swaying gently as if someone had just left it. "Probably just the wind," Alex said, though his voice lacked confidence. The group huddled together, their earlier excitement replaced by unease. Outside, the sun was setting, casting long shadows across the clearing. They had planned to camp nearby, but now no one was so sure. "We should go back," Nora said. "It's getting dark." "Agreed," Mia added, her grip tightening on Ethan's arm. But Alex hesitated, his eyes fixed on the journals. "What if there's more? We could find out who this person was, what they did." "Alex, no," Nora said sharply. "This isn't a game. We need to leave." Before the argument could continue, a distant sound broke the silence, a low, guttural growl that seemed to come from the forest itself. The group spun toward the door, their fear palpable. "What the hell was that?" Ethan asked, his voice shaking. No one answered. The forest outside was growing darker by the second, the trees looming like silent sentinels. The growl came again, closer this time. "We're leaving," Nora said, grabbing Alex's arm. "Now." As they hurried away from the cabin, the journals left untouched on the table, the feeling of being watched lingered. The forest had swallowed the sound of their footsteps, leaving only the faint creak of the cabin door swinging shut behind them. They thought they were leaving the danger behind. They were wrong. Chapter 2, The Journals. The group returned to their campsite in tense silence. The orange glow of their campfire flickered weakly against the encroaching darkness, but it did little to chase away the oppressive feeling left by the cabin. Mia poked at the fire with a stick, her gaze distant. "We shouldn't have gone in there," she murmured. "It felt wrong." "Agreed," Nora said, crossing her arms. "We're not equipped for whatever's going on in that place." Alex sat on a log, holding the journal he had taken from the cabin. He flipped through the pages, his expression unreadable. "What if this is something serious? What if these are real crimes?" "Then it's all the more reason to leave it alone," Ethan snapped. "We're not investigators. We should report it and get out of here." "And tell them what?" "That we found some creepy old notebooks in the middle of nowhere," Alex shot back. "No one's going to believe us without proof." Sam leaned forward, his face lit by the fire's glow. "Let's just read a bit more. Maybe there's something in there that can explain all of this." "No." Nora stood abruptly, her voice sharp. "You're seriously considering reading the ramblings of a psycho? What if they're watching us right now?" Her words hung in the air, heavy with implication. The others glanced uneasily into the surrounding darkness, the forest suddenly feeling far too large and far too quiet. Alex sighed and looked up at the group. "Fine. If you don't want to know, don't listen. But I'm reading this." Reluctantly, everyone settled around the fire, drawn by equal parts curiosity and fear. Alex opened the journal to the beginning and started to read aloud. "March 3rd. Cabin is ready. The walls breathe with the silence of the forest. This will be my sanctuary, a place where the world's noise cannot reach me. My work begins tomorrow." The group exchanged uneasy glances. "Sanctuary?" Mia asked. "That's unsettling." "Keep going," Sam urged, his eyes fixed on the journal. "March 4th. I heard them today, the hikers. They passed too close. I let them go this time. But they will come back. They always do. Curiosity is their undoing. They cannot resist what they don't understand." Ethan let out a shaky laugh. "Well, that's comforting. We're hikers too." "Great." Alex ignored him and turned the page. The handwriting grew more erratic, the words slanted and frenzied. "March 12th. The first one came tonight. Lone. Lost," they said. "But no one is truly lost out here, they are drawn. I helped them find what they were looking for. The forest accepts all offerings." Nora stood and began pacing, her agitation clear. "This is insane. Whoever wrote that is insane." "Or dangerous," Ethan added. "We shouldn't be sitting around reading this. We need to leave. Now." "Leave and go where?" "Mask. It's pitch black. We'll get lost." The argument grew heated, voices overlapping as fear and frustration boiled over. Mia stayed silent, her eyes locked on the trees beyond the firelight. Something about the journal's words echoed in her mind, the unease they described matching the feeling that had been growing in her gut since they found the cabin. Then she saw it. A shadow moved just beyond the firelight, too quick to identify but large enough to make her stomach drop. "Guys," she said, her voice trembling. "Something's out there." Everyone fell silent, their argument forgotten. Alex grabbed a flashlight and shone it into the darkness. The beam swept over the trees, the bushes, the empty forest floor. Nothing moved. "You're imagining things," Alex said, though his voice wavered. "I'm not," Mia insisted. "I saw something." "Probably a deer," Sam said, though he didn't sound convinced. "Or something worse," Nora muttered, glaring at Alex. "This is exactly why we shouldn't have touched that journal." A loud snap echoed through the forest, cutting through the tension like a knife. Everyone froze. The sound had come from somewhere close. Too close. Ethan stood, gripping a heavy branch he had picked up earlier. "That's it. I'm not sticking around to find out what that was. I'm leaving." "Don't be stupid," Alex said. "You'll get lost out there." "Better lost than sitting here waiting to get picked off," Ethan retorted. Another sound, a low, guttural growl, rumbled from the darkness, freezing everyone in place. This time there was no mistaking it. Whatever was out there wasn't a deer. "What the hell is that?" Sam whispered, his voice barely audible. No one answered. The fire crackled weakly, its light seeming to shrink against the encroaching shadows. Alex clutched the journal tighter, his mind racing. "Whatever's out there," he said finally, "it doesn't want us to leave." The group huddled closer, their fear palpable. The forest seemed to come alive around them, the trees whispering secrets they couldn't understand. The journal lay open on Alex's lap, its cryptic words now feeling more like a warning than a record. As the night wore on, they realized one thing. The forest was no longer just a place. It was a presence. And it was watching. Chapter 3, Shadows in the Woods. The night stretched endlessly, the firelight flickering weakly as if it, too, feared the darkness surrounding them. Every rustle of leaves, every distant snap of a branch, felt amplified in the suffocating silence of the forest. The group sat close together, their earlier bravado extinguished by the growing sense of dread. "We can't stay here," Nora said firmly, her voice breaking the uneasy quiet. "We need to leave at first light." Ethan nodded, gripping the branch he had fashioned into a makeshift weapon. "If we make it to first light." "Stop," Mia whispered, her voice trembling. "Don't say things like that." Alex, still clutching the journal, stared into the fire, his mind replaying the words he had read. "The journal. It said the forest accepts all offerings. What does that even mean? Offerings for what? Does it matter?" Sam snapped. "You brought that thing back here. Maybe that's why all this is happening. Blaming me doesn't solve anything," Alex shot back. "And besides, we don't know if—" A loud thud interrupted him, coming from somewhere deep in the woods. It was followed by a sound like dragging, as if something heavy was being pulled across the forest floor. The group froze, their breath caught in their throats. "Okay," Ethan said, his voice barely above a whisper. "What the hell was that?" "An animal," Sam suggested, though his tone lacked conviction. "It has to be an animal." Nora stood, her fists clenched at her sides. "We need to move now. In the dark. Are you crazy?" Alex argued. "We'll get lost. Or worse." Mia's voice cut through their argument. "We're not safe here either." The dragging sound came again, closer this time. It was accompanied by a low, rhythmic clicking noise that sent chills down their spines. Whatever was out there wasn't trying to stay hidden. It wanted them to know it was coming. "Grab your stuff," Alex said finally, his voice tight with fear. "We're leaving. The forest closes in." The group moved quickly, their flashlights sweeping across the uneven terrain as they left the campsite behind. The fire's glow faded into the distance, and soon they were swallowed by the dense forest, the darkness pressing in from all sides. Nora led the way, her pace brisk and determined. "Stay close," she whispered, her eyes darting to every shadow. "Don't wander off." The forest seemed alive with sound, branches creaking, leaves rustling, distant whispers carried on the wind. The dragging noise had stopped, but its absence only made their unease grow. "Does anyone know where we're going?" Sam asked, his voice trembling. "Back the way we came," Alex replied. "Just follow the trail."
"What trail?"
Mia asked, her flashlight illuminating nothing but trees and underbrush. "This doesn't look familiar."
"We're going in circles," Ethan muttered.
"I told you we'd get lost." Alex ignored him, focusing on the path ahead. The journal was stuffed into his backpack, its weight a constant reminder of their earlier discovery. He couldn't shake the feeling that they had disturbed something, something that wasn't meant to be found. A grim discovery. The group stumbled into a small clearing, their relief at the open space short-lived. At the center of the clearing stood a crude structure made of twisted branches and bones. It resembled an altar, its surface smeared with dark stains that glistened in the faint moonlight.
"Oh my God," Mia whispered, stepping back.
"What is this?" Sam asked, his voice shaking. Nora's flashlight landed on something nearby, a pile of discarded belongings. Backpacks, clothing, and shoes lay in a tangled heap, some of them faded and weathered, others disturbingly fresh.
"These are from the hikers," Ethan said, his stomach churning.
"The ones from the journal."
"We need to get out of here," Nora said, her voice urgent.
"Now." Before they could move, the clicking noise returned, louder and faster. It echoed through the clearing, coming from all directions. Panic surged through the group as their flashlights darted around, trying to pinpoint the source.
"I don't see anything,"
Sam shouted, his voice rising in panic.
"That's the point," Nora yelled back.
"It's playing with us."
"First sign."
As the clicking grew louder, a shadow shifted at the edge of the clearing. It moved unnaturally fast, darting from tree to tree, too quick for their flashlights to catch. Mia screamed, her flashlight shaking in her hands.
"Run!"
Alex shouted, grabbing Mia's arm and pulling her toward the nearest path. The group sprinted through the forest, their breaths coming in ragged gasps. The sounds of pursuit were all around them, branches snapping, leaves crunching, and the relentless clicking that seemed to grow closer with every step. They didn't stop until they reached another clearing, this one dominated by a massive tree with a hollowed-out trunk. The group collapsed against it, their exhaustion outweighing their fear for the moment.
"What was that?"
Mia gasped, clutching her chest.
"No idea," Alex replied, his eyes scanning the forest.
"But it's not over. The forest watches." The night grew colder, the air heavy with the scent of damp earth and decay. The group huddled together beneath the ancient tree, their flashlights flickering as the batteries began to wane. Alex pulled the journal from his backpack, his hands trembling.
"There has to be something in here. Something that tells us what we're dealing with."
"Forget the journal," Ethan snapped. "We need to focus on getting out of here."
"I think the journal is the key," Alex insisted.
"Whoever wrote this knew the forest. Maybe they left clues." As Alex flipped through the pages, a single line caught his eye. Written in bold, jagged letters, it read, "The forest takes what it is owed. Run all you like. It will find you." The words sent a chill down his spine. He looked up at the others, his face pale.
"We're not just lost," he said quietly.
"We're being hunted." Chapter 4. Unraveling Secrets. The realization that they were being hunted weighed heavily on the group as they sat huddled under the massive tree. The oppressive silence of the forest was broken only by their labored breathing and the occasional rustle of leaves in the distance.
"What do you mean, hunted?"
Nora asked, her voice trembling with both anger and fear.
"We're not prey."
Alex held up the journal, pointing to the ominous line he had just read.
"This isn't random. Whoever wrote this knew exactly what they were doing.
They set traps, this forest, that cabin. It's all part of something bigger."
"Bigger like what?"
Ethan asked, gripping his makeshift weapon tighter.
"A cult.
A psycho with too much time on their hands."
"Does it matter?"
Nora snapped.
"We need to focus on surviving, not solving some deranged puzzle. Alex flipped through the journal frantically, searching for anything that could give them an edge. He stopped at another passage that sent a chill down his spine. April 2nd. They come looking for adventure, for something to break the monotony of their lives. But the forest is not kind. It strips away the pretense and shows them what they truly are. Weak, desperate, alone. They are mine now, part of my collection. Collection? Mia asked, her voice barely above a whisper. What does that mean? Nothing good, Sam muttered. That's what it means. The group fell into a heavy silence, their fear palpable. The clicking noise from earlier had stopped, but it left behind an even more unsettling stillness. It was as though the forest itself was holding its breath, waiting. The hidden cache. As the first light of dawn began to seep through the trees, Alex made a decision. We're going back to the cabin. What? Nora nearly shouted. Are you out of your mind? No, listen, Alex said, holding up his hands to calm her. If there's any chance of finding something useful, anything that can help us survive, it's there. The journals are a record of this thing. Maybe there's something we missed. He's got a point, Mia said reluctantly. We're not making it out of here without answers. Ethan groaned.
Fine.
But if this goes sideways, I'm blaming you, Alex. The group reluctantly retraced their steps, every shadow and sound keeping them on edge. When they reached the cabin, the sight of it sent a wave of unease through them all. It looked darker in the morning light, as if the forest itself was trying to reclaim it. Inside, the air was colder, carrying the same faint smell of decay. Alex immediately went to the pile of journals, flipping through them with growing desperation. The others searched the cabin, finding little more than broken furniture and shattered glass. Here! Alex shouted suddenly, holding up a page from one of the journals. The handwriting was different, neater, more deliberate, and it included a crude map of the forest. Marked on it were several locations, including the cabin and an area labeled the Hollow. What's the Hollow? Sam asked, leaning over to examine the map. I don't know, Alex admitted. But it's marked like it's important. Important like a trap, Nora said bitterly. This whole forest is a trap. Or it's our way out, Alex countered. Look, there's a path leading away from the Hollow. It might be the only way to escape. The descent. The group followed the map, their unease growing with each step. The forest seemed to shift around them, the trees closing in tighter, their branches intertwining like skeletal fingers. The air grew heavier, damp and suffocating. As they approached the Hollow, they found themselves standing on the edge of a wide, sunken clearing. At its center was a massive pit, surrounded by twisted, gnarled roots that jutted from the ground like broken bones. This is it, Alex said, his voice hollow. The Hollow. Great, Ethan said. And now what? We jump in. Before anyone could respond, Mia pointed to something near the edge of the pit. A pile of bones, bleached white and arranged in strange patterns, glinted in the weak light. Beside them lay a scattering of personal items. Watches, wallets, and even a pair of glasses. These people, Mia whispered, her voice shaking. They were like us. Nora stepped back, her hand over her mouth. This isn't an escape route. It's a graveyard. The revelation. As the group stood frozen in horror, the clicking noise returned, louder and faster than before. It echoed around them, coming from every direction. We need to move, Alex said, grabbing Mia's arm. Now. But as they turned to leave, a figure stepped out from the shadows. Dressed in tattered, earth-colored clothing, they blended almost seamlessly with the forest. Their face was obscured by a crude mask made of bark and leaves, but their presence was unmistakably human and predatory. The figure raised a hand, and the clicking noise stopped. The silence that followed was deafening. Who are you? Alex demanded, his voice shaking. The figure tilted their head, as if amused. Then, in a low, rasping voice, they spoke. You are trespassers, they said. And the forest always takes what it is owed. Chapter 5. The Hunter Becomes the Hunted. The masked figure's words hung in the air, chilling the group to their cores. The forest seemed to tighten around them, the silence amplifying every rapid breath and racing heartbeat. "What does that mean?" Alex asked, his voice trembling. He tried to sound authoritative, but fear cracked through his tone. The figure didn't respond immediately. Instead, they tilted their head further, as if studying the group. Then, in the same rasping voice, they said, "The forest protects itself. It protects me." "That's insane," Ethan spat, gripping his branch tightly. "We're leaving, and you're not stopping us." The figure's laugh was low and guttural, more animalistic than human. "Leave," they said, taking a step closer. "There is no leaving. Desperate escape. Run!" Alex shouted, shoving Mia toward the treeline. The group scattered, their flashlights bouncing wildly as they sprinted into the forest. The masked figure didn't chase them at first, simply watching as they fled, their calm demeanor more terrifying than any pursuit. But the clicking sound returned, louder and faster, as if the forest itself had come alive to give chase. Branches whipped at their faces and roots clawed at their feet, but the group didn't stop. Panic fueled their movements, and their heavy breathing drowned out all other sounds. "This way!" Nora yelled, waving her flashlight to guide the others. Behind them, the clicking noise grew louder, joined by distant, guttural growls. It wasn't just the masked figure anymore. There was something else out there, something that moved through the trees with unnatural speed. Split decisions. The group stumbled into another clearing, their lungs burning and legs trembling. "We can't keep running like this," Sam panted, clutching his side. "We need a plan." "What plan?" Ethan snapped. "You saw that thing. They're not human." "They're human enough to bleed," Alex said, his jaw tightening. He pulled a knife from his backpack, a small camping tool, but it was better than nothing. "We fight back." "Fight back against what?" Mia cried, tears streaming down her face. "The forest. The clicking. That thing. We don't even know what's out there." Before Alex could respond, another sound cut through the clearing, a low, haunting whistle. It was followed by the rustling of leaves, coming from all directions. "They're surrounding us," Nora whispered, her voice barely audible. "We have to move," Alex said firmly. "Stay together." But as they turned to leave, the ground beneath Ethan gave way. With a yell, he disappeared into a hidden pit, his flashlight tumbling in after him. The group rushed to the edge, their beams revealing a deep, narrow hole lined with jagged rocks. Ethan lay crumpled at the bottom, groaning in pain. "Ethan!" Mia screamed, reaching toward him. "Stay back," Alex warned, pulling her away. "It's a trap." From the shadows, the masked figure emerged again, their presence as sudden as it was silent. They stood at the edge of the clearing, watching with cold detachment as Ethan struggled to move. "Help him!" Mia yelled, but the figure remained still. "Why are you doing this?" Alex demanded, stepping forward. His hand tightened on the knife. "What do you want?" The figure's response was chilling in its simplicity. "Balance. Turning the tables." Alex acted on instinct. With a burst of adrenaline, he charged at the figure, swinging the knife in a wide arc. But the figure moved with inhuman speed, sidestepping the attack and striking Alex with a blow that sent him sprawling. "Alex!" Mia screamed, rushing to his side. The masked figure didn't pursue them. Instead, they turned their attention to Ethan, who was still trapped in the pit. They knelt at the edge, their head tilting as they observed him like a predator sizing up its prey. "Stop!" Nora yelled, throwing a rock at the figure. It hit their shoulder but didn't faze them. The figure looked up, their masked face emotionless. "The forest will decide," they said, their voice devoid of empathy. "What does that even mean?" Tom shouted. "You're insane." The figure stood slowly, their gaze fixed on the group. Then they whistled again, a sharp, piercing sound that echoed through the trees. The forest answered with movement. Branches creaked, leaves rustled, and shapes began to emerge from the shadows. They weren't alone anymore. the true enemy. Figures stepped out from the darkness, their faces obscured by masks of bark and bone. Each one held a crude weapon, a branch sharpened into a spear, a stone tied to a club. They moved in unison, silent and purposeful. "This isn't happening," Mia whispered, clutching Alex's arm. "It's a cult," Nora said, her voice shaking. "They're all part of this." The original masked figure raised a hand, and the others stopped. "The forest protects its own," they said. "You don't belong here. Let us go," Alex demanded, rising to his feet despite the pain. "We'll leave and never come back." The figure tilted their head again. "The forest has already claimed you." As the masked group advanced, Alex made a decision. "Run," he whispered to the others. "Go now." "What about you?" Mia asked, tears in her eyes. "I'll hold them off," Alex said, gripping his knife. "Just go. A sacrifice." The group hesitated, but the masked figures were closing in. Reluctantly, Mia, Nora, and Sam turned and ran, leaving Alex behind. He stood his ground, his heart pounding as the masked cult moved closer. "Come on," he shouted, raising his knife. "Let's see what you've got." The last thing the others heard as they fled was Alex's battle cry, followed by the sounds of a struggle. They didn't look back. The forest's judgment. The remaining group stumbled through the trees, their breaths coming in ragged gasps. The clicking noise had returned, but it was fainter now, as if it were retreating. "We can't stop," Nora said, her voice hoarse. "We have to keep going." Mia slowed, tears streaming down her face. "We can't just leave him." "He made his choice," Sam said, though his voice trembled with guilt. "We have to survive." As the sun began to rise, they finally reached the edge of the forest. The sight of open fields and the faint outline of a road in the distance brought tears of relief to their eyes. But the forest wasn't done with them yet. A single, piercing whistle echoed behind them, reminding them that they were never truly safe. Chapter 6. Confronting the Shadows. The whistle hung in the air like a lingering threat, freezing the group in place. Mia turned back toward the forest, her heart pounding. The tree line loomed dark and unyielding, as if daring them to re-enter. "We have to go," Sam said urgently, grabbing Mia's arm. "We're almost out." "But Alex," Mia whispered, her voice trembling. "We can't just leave him." Nora stepped in, her expression hardened. "He gave us a chance. Don't let it be for nothing." Reluctantly, Mia allowed herself to be pulled away, her gaze lingering on the shadowy forest behind them. The road was just ahead, its cracked asphalt bathed in the pale light of dawn. Safety felt tantalizingly close. But as they reached the edge of the road, the clicking sound returned, louder and faster than before. It was no longer distant, it was closing in. A glimpse of hope. They sprinted across the road, heading toward an old rusted sign that read Ranger Station. 2 miles. The thought of finding someone, anyone, filled them with a renewed sense of urgency. "We just need to make it there," Sam panted. "We'll be fine once we're out of the woods." But the clicking didn't fade. It followed them, persistent and unrelenting, echoing off the trees like a taunt. Nora suddenly stopped, turning to face the forest. "No," she said firmly. "We're not running anymore." "What are you talking about?" Sam demanded, panic etched across his face. "We can't stop now." "They're not going to stop until we do something," Nora replied, her voice steady despite the fear in her eyes. "We have to fight back." "Fight back with what?" Mia asked, her voice breaking. "We have nothing." Nora scanned the area, her eyes landing on a broken branch lying nearby. She picked it up, testing its weight. "We have each other," she said simply. "And I'm not dying without a fight." Trap. The group reluctantly prepared for confrontation, gathering whatever they could find as makeshift weapons. Sam found a jagged rock, Mia grabbed another branch, and Nora held her improvised club tightly. The clicking sound grew louder, accompanied by the faint rustle of leaves. Shadows moved between the trees, indistinct but undeniably there. They were being surrounded. "Here they come," Nora said, her voice low. "Stay close." The first figure emerged from the forest, their bark and bone mask glinting in the weak sunlight. They were followed by another, then another, until five masked figures stood at the edge of the road, their weapons crude but deadly. Nora stepped forward, her grip tightening on her branch. "We're not afraid of you," she said, though her shaking hands betrayed her words. One of the figures tilted their head, the gesture eerily familiar. Then, without a word, they advanced. The final stand. The fight was chaotic and brutal. The group swung their makeshift weapons with desperate force, their fear fueling their every movement. Nora landed a blow on one of the figures, sending them stumbling back. Sam hurled his rock, striking another square in the chest. But the masked attackers were relentless. They moved with a precision that bordered on unnatural, their strikes calculated and merciless. Mia screamed as one of the figures lunged at her, but she dodged just in time, swinging her branch and connecting with their side. The figure fell but quickly scrambled to their feet, their mask cracked but intact. "We can't keep this up," Sam yelled, his voice filled with panic. Nora gritted her teeth, blood dripping from a cut on her forehead. "We don't have a choice. A turn of fate." As the group fought desperately, a sudden roar echoed through the forest, stopping everyone in their tracks. The masked figures froze, their heads snapping toward the sound. It was deep and guttural, filled with a rage that sent shivers down the group's spines. Out of the shadows came Alex, his face bloodied and his clothes torn. He held a large branch in one hand, his eyes wild with fury. "You want me," he bellowed, his voice hoarse but powerful. "Come and get me." The masked figures hesitated, as if unsure how to respond. Alex didn't give them the chance to decide. He charged at them with reckless abandon, swinging his branch with a strength born of desperation. "Alex!" Mia cried, running toward him. "Stay back," he shouted, his voice breaking. "Get to the ranger station. Now." The group hesitated for only a moment before Nora grabbed Mia's arm. "We have to go," she insisted, pulling her away. "The price of survival." They ran, their legs burning and lungs screaming for air, but they didn't stop until the ranger station came into view. The small building was old and weathered, but it represented hope. Bursting through the door, they found it empty, save for a dusty radio sitting on the desk. Nora rushed to it, frantically twisting the knobs. "Hello," she said, her voice shaking. "Is anyone there? We need help." Static crackled through the speaker, followed by a faint voice. "This is Ranger Station Alpha. Who is this?" Nora nearly sobbed in relief. "We're trapped in the forest. There are people. They're trying to kill us." The voice hesitated. "Stay where you are. Help is on the way." Mia collapsed into a chair, tears streaming down her face. "Alex," she whispered. "He saved us." Nora knelt beside her, gripping her hand tightly. "He gave us a chance," she said. "And we're going to make sure it wasn't in vain. The forest's warning." As the group waited for rescue, the clicking noise returned, faint but unmistakable. It was a reminder that the forest wasn't done with them, that it never truly let anyone go. They didn't speak, their silence filled with the weight of what they had endured. When the rescue team arrived hours later, they stumbled out of the station, their relief tempered by the knowledge of what they had left behind. As they were driven away, Mia glanced back at the forest, her heart heavy. The trees stood tall and unmoving, but she could feel their gaze, a silent promise that the forest always remembers. And somewhere, deep within the shadows, the clicking continued. Chapter 7. The Forest Remembers. The drive away from the forest was suffocatingly silent. Mia sat in the back seat of the rescue vehicle, her hands gripping the edges of her seat so tightly her knuckles turned white. Nora and Sam sat beside her, equally shaken, their gazes fixed on the road ahead. The ranger driving occasionally glanced at them through the rearview mirror, his expression grim. "You're lucky we found you," he said after a long stretch of quiet. Not many people make it out of those woods. People go in and don't come back? Sam asked, his voice barely above a whisper. The ranger nodded. It's a cursed place, or so the locals say. Full of disappearances, strange sounds, and old legends. But none of that matters now, you're safe.
If
the word felt hollow. Mia turned to look out the window, the forest fading into the distance. But the feeling of being watched hadn't left her. It lingered, clawing at the edges of her mind. The survivor's guilt. When they reached the nearest town, they were taken to a small clinic for treatment. Cuts were stitched, bruises examined, and vitals checked. The nurse offered them kind words and warm blankets, but it did little to ease their pain. Mia sat on the edge of her bed, her eyes red and swollen. "We left him," she whispered, more to herself than to anyone else. "He made his choice," Nora said softly, sitting across the room. Her voice was steady, but her expression betrayed the turmoil beneath her calm exterior. "If we'd stayed, none of us would be here right now." "It doesn't make it right," Mia replied, her voice cracking. "He deserved better." Sam leaned against the doorframe, his arms crossed. "We don't even know if he's gone. For all we know, Alex could still be out there." "Don't," Nora snapped, her voice sharp. "Don't give her false hope." Sam opened his mouth to argue but thought better of it. Instead, he turned and walked out of the room, leaving the two women in tense silence. Questions begin. The next day, they were interviewed by local authorities. A grizzled detective with tired eyes and a notepad sat across from them, his gaze sharp and probing. "You're telling me a group of masked individuals lives out there in the forest?" he asked, his tone skeptical. "Yes," Nora replied firmly. "They attacked us. They." Her voice faltered as she recalled the clicking sounds and the eerie precision of their movements. "They're dangerous. This Alex," the detective continued. "He stayed behind." Mia nodded, tears welling in her eyes. "He saved us." The detective scratched his chin, his expression unreadable. "We'll send a search team, but I have to warn you, the forest is vast. If he's still out there, it won't be easy to find him." "They'll find him," Mia said, more to herself than anyone else. "They have to." The return to normalcy. Days turned into weeks. The authorities combed the forest, but there was no sign of Alex or the masked figures. The journals, which had been handed over to the police, were studied and catalogued as evidence. But they provided no concrete answers, only cryptic ramblings and vague descriptions of rituals. Mia, Nora, and Sam tried to return to their lives, but the shadows of the forest lingered. Mia often woke in the middle of the night, her dreams filled with the sound of clicking and the image of Alex's bloodied face. Nora threw herself into work, using distraction as her armor. Sam drifted from place to place, unable to shake the feeling that they hadn't truly escaped. A final warning. One evening, weeks after their ordeal, Mia received a package with no return address. Inside was a single journal, its cover familiar and worn. Her hands trembled as she opened it, her breath hitching when she saw the handwriting. It was Alex's. "April 20th. If you're reading this, it means I didn't make it out. But I need you to know something. The forest isn't just a place. It's alive. It watches, it waits, and it never forgets. I tried to stop them, but they're not like us. They belong to the forest, and the forest belongs to them. It's a cycle, one that's been going on for longer than any of us can imagine. And now we're part of it. You have to stay away. Don't let anyone else go there. The forest takes what it is owed, and it's always hungry." Mia dropped the journal, her chest tightening with fear. She stared out her window, the darkness beyond feeling suffocating and endless. In the distance, faint but unmistakable, came the sound of clicking.